All right. 1 second. I had to take off Penny's Thunder shirt. I just did her, like, test period with it.
Oh, how's that?
I don't know. First he tried
to... Is she barking?
Well, no, but she never barks when I'm here. That's the problem. I like the name, though. Thunder shirt. It sounds like a Final Fantasy, like, equipable item.
Yeah, I was thinking of getting one for Tucker, actually, and hoping that it might make him less nervous about life.
Yeah. You should go into a time machine and stop the, you know, previous owner from beating him. That might also help. And then while you do that, you can save Kennedy from assassination. And then, you know, it'll be like a fun thing where it's like, oh no, the world's actually a worse place somehow. And we'll be like, guys, isn't it crazy how a terrible event actually led to the world we know today? Or maybe it'll be a better world. Who knows? But, like, you know, maybe we're not in it anymore. That's my favorite thing about weird alternate timeline stories, right? Like somehow, like, this, like in Star Trek, there's like the, you know, it's like, oh, we, you know, we changed history or something, but somehow the same people still hooked up and had the same babies. It's like, you think that would somehow change.
I'm just going to go get the Thunder shirt.
Welcome to the Exploding Barrel Podcast for September 18th, 2014. This is Mike Minotti, and I'm joined by my brother, Adj Guy.
Hello.
Hey, yo, Adj Guy.
Hey, yo.
Hey, Mike, yo. Source. A little Scott Hall for you. So, how's it going? We got some news to talk about. I like how he asked how's it going, then immediately just like, and, no.
You're like, I don't care.
I don't know. It feels just small banter. So, yeah, we'll talk about some news. Some more games we've been playing, a little bit more Destiny. I reviewed Hyrule Warriors, so I can talk about that now. You know, and I did get a Smash Brothers code, so thank
you. All is right with the world.
Yeah, everything's okay now. All right, and then we'll get to the releases, and then we got some conversation going on the message board. We'll look at that, and that'll do it. So, you ready to go?
Yes.
All right, I guess I kind of have this first story up, so... But I thought it was interesting. So Final Fantasy, the Tokyo Game Show is going on right now.
Yep.
One second, I wrapped up my gum and I dropped it. I don't want Penny to eat my discarded gum. Where the hell did it go?
Oh, brother.
How could it disappear?
It's probably like
it on fell by my keyboard.
Desk.
I'm dumb. What did I say? Oh, yeah, Tetsuo Nomura, the Kingdom Hearts guy who was... You know, he directed all the Kingdom Hearts games, and then he started directing Final Fantasy Versus 13 back in 2006. It was kind of on the project forever, and this was, you know, kind of the presumed reason why Kingdom Hearts 3 took so long to happen was because he was working on this game forever. You know, Final Fantasy Versus 13 had a really long, like, blackout media period, then it came back about a year or so ago as Final Fantasy 15. And now Square Enix has taken Nomura off the project as director.
Now, did they take him off, or did he choose to leave, or do we not really know?
It sounds like they took him off, because there's a statement from...
Hey, you've taken 8 years to make this game. Maybe someone else should do it.
Well, I feel like at this point the game's going to get finished when it is. I think it was almost more like, look, you need to focus all your time on Kingdom Hearts 3, because that's going to make us a lot of money. Kingdom Hearts 3 might make them more money than Final Fantasy 15.
Oh, sure.
I mean, I don't have the numbers, but I'm pretty sure Kingdom Hearts 2 sold better than 12 did, at least in America. So, yeah, I think part of it, you know, is kind of like, let's get Kingdom Hearts 3 done, please. So, like, that's not the next Final Fantasy 15, although it almost is, because 2006, when they started working on Final Fantasy Versus 13, is the year that Kingdom Hearts 2 came out.
Yeah.
Which got 8 years ago. So, Hajime Tabata? I don't know. I don't know. He's the new director. He's the guy who worked on Crisis Core, Final Fantasy VII, and Final Fantasy Type Zero, which is finally getting a release here. It was a PSP game. Now it's getting like an HD version. And I think Type Zero plays like Crisis Core. Crisis Core is actually a really solid game. It had a really
neat... Yeah, I liked it when I played it.
Yeah, it had a really neat battle. Like, it was an action RPG, but it was like a kind of a slower battle system than like a Kingdom Hearts. And I guess
Crisis Core, or not Crisis Core, Type Zero does this thing where you have three people, but you're controlling one, And then there's, like, a whole bunch of people on reserve, so when one person dies, the next person comes in. And apparently it's pretty hard.
Yeah, well, you know, just looking at... Because there's a new trailer for Final Fantasy XV. You're looking at... You have a party. And I'm not...
I was talking about Type-0, but go ahead.
No, I'm talking about... Yeah, I know, I'm just... I'm connecting it. I'm looking at it. You have a party, which you didn't have a crisis course. So I wonder if it's going to work like what you're talking about, if it's going to be more Kingdom Hearts-y, where your party members just kind of do your own thing. You can set up some kind of, like mandates for them to fall, like if I fall below 20% health, heal me, kind of gambits.
Kind of like 12 did.
Kind of like the gambits, yeah.
The combat animation in that trailer is really good. Not only just for like when guys are fighting, but even like the way the characters are playing off each other. I don't know how that works, but if it does, that's really cool.
It's a really good looking game. You know, people kind of forget that Final Fantasy XIII, the combat system was really cool, and like the combat animation for it was also really cool. Uh-huh. But yeah, so it's weird though, because this is by far the most contemporary looking Final Fantasy since.
Well, they're just kind of driving around in a convertible.
Yeah, so yeah, like they have a car. Like I do wish the car looked a bit more like a fantasy car. I don't know.
It just looks like a car.
I don't know. Maybe that'd be dumb. Maybe it's fine. That's just a car. But yeah, so, you know, there's obviously fantasy elements here, but this is the most contemporary one since 8. Which.
Well, you saw what Chris Persons did on Twitter earlier today.
What?
He took the Zoolander orange mocha frappuccino scene and then made it a GIF and photoshopped all the Final Fantasy XV characters' faces onto it. Pretty accurate.
Yeah.
Pretty accurate.
Yeah, it is weird because it's like four dudes kind of like wearing the same thing.
I think one of them's a girl.
I don't know. This guy, I think we're all...
It's hard to tell, but I'm pretty sure the one in the passenger seat's a girl. Now, what I want to know is, when they localize this, will they reverse the car?
Oh, right. Who knows? They have to reverse the whole game then. I don't know.
Well, Nintendo's done it.
Yeah, I have no idea. But I mean, yeah, like, again, the combat system looks cool. You know, it's kind of weird because it's kind of a point maybe we didn't talk about enough when we're talking about is, you know, Final Fantasy XV going to revitalize the JRPG genre. You know, it's not really a JRPG. It is an action RPG. And I think it will be probably more like Crisis Core and Type-0, where it's a bit more of a slower and it's more methodical than like Kingdom Hearts, which is a bit more attack, 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 heal, attack, 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 heal kind of a thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, it's not going to be like Bravely Default or Persona all of a sudden.
No.
But yeah, I mean, you know, the trailer did look good. There is a part of me that's like, man, I wish they would make like a Final Fantasy game like 9 again. Something that was like so pure fantasy, which you kind of get with 14, but like, that's like everything in Final Fantasy 14 is part of me as well. If that's Final Fantasy to me. Like castles and crystals and, you know, wizards and all this stuff. You know, seeing guys in black trench coats. Like, you know, Kingdom Hearts has been so many things that it doesn't get me mad. I understand it, but I still like that sort of classic Final Fantasy thing. But I mean, it's nice. It almost makes me wonder why Square Enix didn't just do this director change a long time ago.
Yeah, I'd really like. I'd really be curious to see what the exact development history of this game has been like, but I doubt we'll ever really know.
Yeah, well, it just seems like it seems like a disaster. I mean, 8 years, you know, by comparison, the whole from Duke Nukem Forever, which is like the poster boy for a long amount of time before a game had come out, that was announced in 1997, it came out in 2011, so that was 14 years. So we're not quite on that level yet, but I mean, you know, it's kind of getting there. I don't know, I wonder what Nomura thinks of it, because I can't imagine he's that happy about it. I'm sure that there's a part of him who wanted to direct a full-on Final Fantasy game.
Right.
And I mean, for a while he was working on, I don't know, the whole Final Fantasy versus 13 to 15 thing is weird. The fact that it took so long for this game to come out and for so long for Kingdom Hearts 3 to come out.
You think they would have been better off to just, like, say, okay, Final Fantasy versus 13, we canceled it. And then, like, secretly just kind of redesign the main character a bit more and be like, anyway, here's Final Fantasy 15 now.
No, I mean, that's
like, just, does the game just have a lot of baggage attached to it automatically?
But that doesn't accomplish anything besides just being dishonest. What does that help? I mean, it doesn't matter. People aren't.
No, it helps the image a little bit. I don't know.
No, the image is still, now we worked for, you know, 7 years, whatever. We had nothing to show for it. So, whatever. I don't know. I'm still, like, excited for this game, but this whole development.
Oh, you're going to apparently get to play it in March if you get Final Fantasy Type-0 HD.
But isn't that just a Japanese thing right now?
Is it? I don't know. It's hard to keep track in TGS.
I'm pretty sure. Well, yeah, I'm pretty sure it is. Because I don't think Type-0 is coming out here in March.
I thought it was.
It is. I don't think it's coming out in March, but I don't know. All right. What else do you want to talk about?
Real quick on the Final Fantasy front. Did you see Final Fantasy 13, the whole trilogy's coming to PC?
Yeah, that's interesting, huh?
You have any desire?
I don't know. I never played the other two. I don't know if I have a very strong desire to. Because 13-2 seems like it's one of those things where like a lot of your party members are monsters just like in the game. I don't like that stuff. And then 13 or Lightning Returns just sounds weird. I don't know what to make of that. So, you know, but, whatever. All right. What else?
Did you care at all that like they kind of stealth announced that D4 is coming out?
I have no idea what D4 is. Me and you did not get on board that Deadly Premonition train at all.
No. You completely missed that. This is that guy, Sweary. Yeah. It's a Kinect game.
What?
That's something, right?
Someone made a Kinect game in 2014?
Yeah, you can play it with a controller or a Kinect. Your choice.
Well, good thing there's a choice there, because... Wow. All right. Do you want to talk about Destiny? Kind of do a little bit of both here with... Just some topics in general about it, because it's still kind of everyone's talking about Destiny.
Right.
And, you know, I got a little frustrated earlier because... No, look, I like Destiny. I think you like Destiny, too. I think we both admit that it has problems.
Mm-hmm.
But it annoys me how, you know, and, like, the game has a 76 Metacritic right now for the PlayStation 4 version, with out of 68 reviews. And, I don't know, it's just... It seems like so often, whenever we give reviewers give games a good score, it has a good score, we're in the publisher's pockets, or, you know, we don't know how to count the whole 10 range for the review system. But then a AAA game, finally, you know, it gets, like, a mid-70s review score, then all of a sudden everyone's like, why are you being so hard on Destiny?
Right.
Well,
I think part of the problem is, like, a lot of gamers and a lot of media outlets like to complain that this game had too much hype. But I feel like the majority of that hype came from the game's media.
No, that stuff is bullshit.
It is and it is. Because, like,
readers.
Well, you can't get mad at a company for advertising their game. That's their job. But, like, most of what I gathered from this game came from E3s and things like
that. And the media's job is to inform people about the games that they're the most interested in. And people were interested in Destiny. Look, I mean, I'm not, you know, sites that are going to do an article for every new trailer, every screenshot, whatever. Yeah, sure, that's lame. I don't think that's like that's not why people are disappointed in Destiny. There is inherent hype already because it was the first new IP from the people who made Halo. There's going to be hype. To somehow blame that on the games media is ridiculous to me. I mean, obviously, I'm in the games media, so maybe I'm biased, but I don't get that logic at all. That, I don't know. I mean, you're going to still, when Half-Life 3 gets announced before it comes out, it's going to be covered a lot. Are you going to say, man, the games media should have fabricated a lot of hype for Half-Life 3? Big games big AAA games are going to get more coverage because they appeal to the largest audiences, which, you know, by proxy means the most amount of readers are going to be interested in it. There's nothing cynical about that. That's just how it works.
Yeah, let me finish my point real quick, because what I was trying to say is, I think the perception from the people who are angry at these review scores is, all the while I was reading these previews and you guys said this game was looking great and everything was awesome.
Did previews say that? What previews say that? There's a Kotaku story about, for instance, from like earlier in the summer where someone played the game and said, oh, I don't know, I have a lot of questions. See, that's like people make that stuff.
That's when that stuff started in the beginning of summer.
Well, was that not enough time?
No, it wasn't. I'm not saying I agree with this. I'm just saying from what I can tell, the perception is people feel like I'm trying to articulate this. It happens a lot where everyone's like, oh, it seemed like this media outlet really liked this game and I bought it based on their previews because the review wasn't up and now their review is negative, but I already bought the game and I'm screwed.
First off, previews are often not very subjective. They're basically...
No, I understand. I understand all this. I'm saying it's like, you know, teenagers who are upset.
Well, I don't know. Then they're dumb teenagers. I'm not too worried about what they think.
Right, but they have a loud voice right now. That's what I'm saying.
I'm not seeing this from teenagers. I'm seeing this kind of from more people, some people I know, more colleagues and stuff, you know. I mean, there's a too old...
Well, no, those are the ones who are intelligently talking about the game. I'm talking about the people who are like, "Hey, why are the review scores so low? It's Bungie. They should be doing better."
Yeah, I know.
I'm making fun of them with you. We're just coming at it from a different direction here.
I guess. But I don't know. I like Destiny, but are you going to tell me that it's somehow not if you had to give Destiny a score right now, like, where would yours be?
Let's go from probably in, like, the mid-80s.
Yeah, that's high for me.
That is high. Like, I think I figured out what my biggest problem with Destiny is. For as dense as the game is, and what I mean by that is, like, the environments are very detailed, they're very cool to be in. There's not a lot of actual content.
There's not a lot of real estate.
Right, and there's not a lot of real estate, and there's not actually a lot of stuff to do in the real estate that's there. Well, you know, they always famously said with Halo it was 30 seconds of fun repeated, but that wasn't really true because the game knew when to give you a break. It knew when to throw in a warthog mission, right, or you attack the giant scorpion tank or whatever. Destiny doesn't really get that. It is a lot of, you know, it's the joke, but it's true. Go to this location, your ghost is going to hack something. While it's hacking it, a wave of guys is going to come at you. That's almost every mission. We were playing it the other night, you, me, and Chris, and we had some pikes show up, which are like the vehicles you can ride that actually shoot. And you even said, like, oh, they finally gave us some pikes to ride. And we were in them for, what, like 5 minutes?
Yeah, sure.
We immediately hit a dead end where we had to abandon them. Like, okay.
Why can't a whole mission be on a pike?
Right, exactly. Like, they're missing that variety. The other problem with the game, you know, remember they were being really weirdly secretive about, oh, we've got these end game plans and we don't want to spoil
the
what they are.
The end game is just repeating missions on a harder difficulty.
Yeah, and the thing is, I think the game realizes there's not a lot to do, which is why at the end it becomes such a grind.
Oh yeah.
You've seen the joke Twitter account, the purple legendary engram?
No.
Oh, it's great. It's just the icon for the account is like a purple helmet engram that you have to decode. But you know how, like, a purple, when you decode it, still has a really good chance of being a green or even a white or a blue?
Mm-hmm.
It's actually they tried to, like, mathematically figure it out. All the other ones have, like, a more than 50% chance of actually matching the color they are. But the purples have a 20% chance of actually being a purple.
Well, that's nice.
Yeah, it's stupid. And I think that the game is artificially makes it harder to progress as a way of making it seem like you have more to do. For example, like you need a combination of either Vanguard marks or Crucible marks to buy most of the high-end gear. But you're limited to only being able to earn 100 marks per week of either type. The only reason for that to exist is because they don't want you to unlock everything in a week. Because, well, you would.
Yeah. I mean, World of Warcraft did a similar thing, at least from what I recall in my Lich King days. And it was a very similar system. You earned these marks by doing, like, the daily random dungeon. There's other ways you can get them too. But yeah, I think there was a limit. Maybe I'm misremembering that. Well, but at least in World of Warcraft, you know, you could do a lot of other things. You can be like, well, now I'm going to play the game with a completely different faction. It's a completely different.
I'm going to go craft stuff.
I'm going to be a crafter. I'm going to do, yeah. You know, basically, your choices here are PvP or repeat quests and dungeons. Or if you can find, like, some people together, you can do one raid that's out right now.
Well, and that's the other issue, too. So the raid requires you to be level 26.
Oh.
Now, the way you get to higher levels beyond 20 is you have to get gear with a stat called light. So, yeah, I mean, now correct me if I'm wrong, because I didn't do a lot of raiding in WoW. Isn't the point of raiding in WoW to get better gear?
Yeah, what's the max gear level? What's the max level?
26, that's what I'm saying.
Well, that makes no sense.
Yeah, you have to have the best gear to even do the raid.
No, the point.
So what's your reward for doing it?
The point is that you go into the raid probably not prepared enough for it, and you get, and like, as you do it, like, every week, you get further and further because you keep getting better loot until you beat it, and then, like, you get really good loot.
Right.
That's the same.
That doesn't exist. The guys who were, like, the first ones to complete the raid, I think they got, like, a mode of light.
No.
Yeah. Because there's nothing to get. What do you get? You already have the gear that gets you to the game's level cap.
That is messed up. Are you sure about that 85?
85? What?
Your score?
Well, because I haven't done that, and I probably won't. That's the other thing. I feel like Bungie has gone out of their way to tell me, you're not going to play this raid. There's no matchmaking. You have to be max level. You have to know five people who are max level. It's going to take a long time. You'll probably have to stop halfway through, get that group back together again on another night,
okay,
make sure the same person's the fire team leader, go back inside. So, it's like, yeah, slow down. I don't want to do any of that. I just want to play your game.
But see, that's what the end game is for these things, is it all depends on these raids. If there's no incentive to do that, and if they're not practical to do, so you don't get the satisfaction from that, and you don't get the satisfaction of, like, a story actually coming to a conclusion and being resolved, what is there to do here except just play the PvP over and over and do old missions again and again?
I don't know. The good thing is I like the PvP.
Sure.
Like,
no, it's all fun.
I have no problem playing that.
No.
It's the PvE end game that I don't understand. Solid. Because, I mean, here's the other thing too. If you did a high-end WoW raid and the final boss was just a tank and spank, wouldn't you feel kind of cheated?
Well, there's some, even the dungeons. Like, the first one had two bosses, and everyone since then has one boss.
Yeah, it kind of reminds me of SWTOR. Like, the first one, like, yeah. Oh, okay, I see what they're doing here, and then none of the rest are ever that good again.
Because that's the whole, and that's kind of the problem. Like, in a World of Warcraft, all of the bosses are super interesting and neat and different and have really hard, different mechanics. They're all basically, I mean, there's no tanking, it's all just spank. It is literally, wow, these guys have a lot of health, let's shoot them a lot.
Yeah, and that's the thing, it's just, difficulty in this game just equates to bullet sponges.
Right, it's just, exactly, things have a lot of health.
Like that tank, and that tank's not hard to beat in that first strike, it just takes a long time.
It's just, for how long they worked on this, it's just shocking, the sort of design problems. Not the mechanics are great.
Yeah, that's the thing. The shooting, the movement, all like, that's fantastic. That's what keeps me coming back to the game. And I like the world. Here's the thing.
Well,
you have to separate the two. The world is cool. The story is shit.
Well, the story and the presentation, you know, I finally saw like a commercial that had part of that live action trailer they made. And in it, there's like, the heroes are like making these quips with each other and it's playing like this old rock and roll music. And it's like, wow, I wish the actual game had a tenth of this personality.
Well, and Pete brought that up on the message board,
right,
and was asking, like, he's like, oh, this commercial kind of cool, maybe I would like this. I go, eh, no.
Like, most of the people,
well, and I mean, here's the thing, like, there's not witty banter because you're playing online. Like, I mean, if you and your friends want to roleplay Destiny, I guess you could replicate
that's
that.
Not what people do, and that's what people do when they raid. They either talk about the mechanics of what exactly is happening, or they, you know, shoot the breeze or something, you know? No one's like, right, oh man, I'm in this cave, sure it's dark, huh? Well, don't worry, we'll flush them out. No one says that shit.
Right, right, right. And it's like, I was kind of thinking, like, reflecting back on the story, because I did complete the main story the other day. Remember how important it seemed to be that we found Rasputin, the old AI that faced the darkness and survived?
Oh, yeah.
That is the new, I definitely have breast cancer.
Just not brought up.
It never came back. Not once. After that mission where you open that array, nothing. Again, I don't know. Maybe they've got some DLC that's going to be all about Rasputin and it's going to be amazing. But like,
yeah,
it's just never brought up again. And of course, like, you beat this final encounter and it was actually pretty good. It had awesome music.
Yeah.
You know, you do the final cutscene, and it's like, we had a great victory this day, but the darkness is still out there because the game can't end. So it's like, well, I don't really feel like I did anything. Like,
yeah,
nothing changed in the world.
And, yeah, you don't get the satisfaction from, like, a Halo. And that was the problem with Halo 2, right? There's no satisfaction from anything. So you didn't really accomplish anything. And right. I feel like Destiny is just going to be Halo 2 forever. Right? Like, because they can't end it. They can't just say, the darkness is gone. We did it. Or maybe they can, because maybe this thing, because here's my big question. Is Destiny in trouble? Is Bungie in trouble?
Well, they're not getting their $2.5 million bonus.
Yeah, also, people bringing that up is like, oh, shame on your reviewers, because if this game had a 9%, yeah, is that
yeah,
what
these
you,
people
that's how you
money.
Want us to work, huh? Okay, I'll keep that in mind next time I review a game, then I'll be on the level.
But Bungie has said over and over that they almost consider this game to be kind of like a platform.
But yeah,
I think they very quickly need to prove it.
Hey, but here's the problem. I have a feeling that people might be abandoning this particular platform very quickly. I mean, when they get to that level cap, if they get there and they kind of just find out it's, you know, just kind of repeating things, and World of Warcraft can get away with that. Because World of Warcraft is very much about, wow, it took me 4 months to hit the level cap, if not a year or so, and I made all these friends online, and now we're, you know, I hang out with them and stuff. And it's almost not healthy, but that's how that game operates.
I hit the level cap in less than a week.
We hit the level cap and have met nobody besides just the people the three of us. There's no social interaction at all.
No.
There isn't. Because there's no need for it.
Well, there have been so many times when, like, I've been playing the game and I run into somebody and we work together a little bit. And I'm like, okay, they're clearly on the same quest I am. I'm going to invite them to my fire team. No one has ever accepted my invite. I've done it three times. Never. Yeah. You know, they're like, whatever, I can do this by myself. I don't need you.
And they can. They're not wrong.
Yeah, I know.
Is this going to be a problem? Because because especially now that the reviews are out and people are seeing this and they're hearing the things. And like I said, yeah, Destiny is fun. I don't think this is what they were going to hope it was. I don't think it's going to be the next World of Warcraft. I don't think it's going to be the next Halo. And what do you do? Do you just make Destiny 2? What is that going to be like?
Right.
What about the content we were promised for this game? Do characters transfer over? And everyone says, like,
and that's another problem. You talk about the longevity, even going like looking at World of Warcraft, even Diablo. Yeah, maybe I hit the level cap in Diablo 3 and I keep playing that character, or maybe I go make a new character because it's going to play really differently. The differences between the Warlock and the Titan,
they're not big.
They're there, but honestly, they should have locked them into specific weapons. It should have been Warlocks use pulse rifles and Titans use auto rifles, and the fact that everybody shares the same pool of weapons from primary, secondary, and even rocket launchers. Well, that doesn't matter.
Well, that's something that Blizzard does that Bungie should have done, especially with Diablo, because the classes are also different, have different spells, that it kind of is interesting to replay the game from that perspective. There's no real incentive here to play the game.
The only incentive I have to play as a new character is I got my first purple body engram to drop the other day.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, sweet, it's my first purple. It's probably going to end up being green or whatever, but hey, let's go decode this shit. And it actually gave me purple body armor for a Titan, I'm a Warlock.
Can you even trade?
No, there's no in-game trading. So it's literally saying, sweet job, bro, put this in your vault, and when you make a Titan and he gets level 20, he can wear this. Like, okay.
And I still think, I was saying this before, man, it feels like the level cap is really low. You're like, well, that's because they want you to get to the end game quick, because that's when the real game begins. Bullshit. The level cap was too low. There should have been twice as much story content and 20 more levels to hit. And I mean, just like, you know, you were saying before,
what's dumb too is even though you hit level 20, you're still leveling up because you're unlocking like the rest of your abilities. So why didn't they just make the level number match the number of abilities and just let it keep going?
I don't know. Why the hell not? I guess, again, it's because they want people to hit that quote-unquote max so they can do this one raid that they got ready.
But that's the thing. Even to get to that raid, you still need to get the gear to get to 26.
Is that really... That makes a little sense to me. Like, to be the highest possible item level to play the final raid.
Yeah. And then there's a hard mode, too, which I don't understand how that even works.
What do you get?
You don't get anything. That's the problem. The only reward for doing it is to say you did it.
No one cares. What loot? Did they know what kind of game they were making?
I don't think so. I mean, I was kind of okay with the fact that the game, it's not like Borderlands where like guys explode like a slot machine full of coins every time you shoot them. But again, like I've been playing this game I've put in a lot of hours to it. I have one purple, and it's for the wrong class. Right. And like, seriously?
The Borderlands comparison is unfavorable in a lot of ways. Just because when you think about Borderlands, you think about those little towns you go to, especially like the main town. There's people running around. It feels lived in, right? That last city does not – those people feel like they stand in the same place they do every day. and they're only there to provide some sort of in-game service to you, or as, like, decoration. And, you know, even though people in Borderlands 2 might do that, it just doesn't feel that way. And the same thing with World of Warcraft, you know? Those feels like actual places where characters live in. These places don't feel lived in. It's not just because they're desolate. So it's weird. I feel like the ball was dropped a little bit here, and I feel like I feel like there might be a small panic happening right now. I know the initial sales are very good, but the stock price for Activision Blizzard has gone down. I think that's a result of the reception reviews. And maybe, you know, other factors we're not aware of. But, you know, there's a lot of money put into this thing.
I just joke with myself the other day because I'm thinking, wow, you know, honestly, the best part of this game might just be the music, and they fired that guy.
Yeah, you know, music is pretty good. And you'll get, last week I was complaining that there wasn't, like, that the worlds weren't big enough. You're like, well, that's because everything looks so good that, you know, they have to put all this attention to detail. And I kind of bought it, but when I think about it, like, I feel like the total real estate of the Halo 4 campaign, and correct me if I'm wrong, because I didn't really play it, I feel like there was probably more, like, surface area, you know, there than there is in all of this supposedly, like, kind of open game Destiny.
I don't think surface area is necessarily the problem, because, again, they don't give you...
kind of is a problem.
It is, and it is. Like, even if the world was bigger, I still feel like the fundamental design goals of this game didn't give you enough interesting stuff to do. It doesn't have that mission where you're flying in a spaceship or something crazy.
Well, nothing is spontaneous in this game. You either... You look down on a map on a planet, and you know exactly what you're going to do. Like, all right, we're going to go do this mission, or we're going to go do this raid. Or you're going to go play PvP. Or, you know, if you're going to do the spontaneous, like, exploring part, even that is a very specific action. It's like, all right, you're going to run around, you're going to find beacons and do very, you know, again, very repetitive quests. And the only things that are you can find that are hidden are... there's 5 gold chest pieces on each place, which by the time you find them all, probably won't even have good loot for you. And, like, the dead ghosts that are just... I don't know. They're hidden.
Well, the public events are a lot of fun, and but even though they claim they claim to have doubled the frequency of them, I've still seen one since they did that.
When you do Final Fantasy 14 or something similar like that, you see
those
like,
are going on all the time.
And they're so much fun.
Yeah, because you're playing the game with other people.
And like again, and we always say, oh, by the way, we like Destiny. But, you know, it speaks volumes that we were just able to talk 30 minutes about all its problems.
Yeah. And I'm still playing it. I'm going to play it tonight. I still, like I said, the gameplay itself, like the mechanics of moving, shooting, jumping, all that.
Yeah, but I'll tell you
very what. Good. Very good.
I'll tell you what, though. My engagement level is at a point where when the next big thing comes out here...
Yeah, you're not going to keep playing it.
I don't know. Like, are we going to... Like you know, when Halo Anniversary Edition comes out, I feel like a lot of people are going to move to that. For on the PlayStation side, I don't know. I mean, there's going to be Call of Duty, which has never really been my thing, but I don't know. Yeah, I don't know what my engagement level is going to be here.
Yeah.
All right.
It's true.
So, in the other parts of the gaming world, I reviewed Hyrule Warriors for the Wii U.
I briefly played it.
Yeah, you know, I was surprised how much I actually enjoyed it. Our Dynasty Warriors Experience Collective is not very strong. I think we had Dynasty Warriors 2, the launch game for PlayStation 2, and even then I was like, this is a weird game. It's kind of boring and repetitive. And, you know, it's Hyrule Warriors is definitely repetitive. It's all about, you know, you run around, you attack giant groups of monsters. But, you know, I feel like it almost kind of works because of the Zelda franchise, because the Zelda franchise, it's simply kind of quieter and a bit more subdued. There's obviously fantastical elements of it, but it's never been very flashy.
Right.
This game's incredibly flashy.
Yeah, it's Zelda turned up to 11.
Right. Like, you know, like, yeah, like the fights don't look like Dragon Ball Z. There's a lot of, like, glyphs, and, you know, those weird radiant energy glyphs that always happen in these weird kind of games. You know, like you do a combo and you can take out, like, 50 people in one hit. But, I mean, you know, it's cool because it's the first Zelda game to really have, any kind of Zelda franchise fan service to a large degree. Like the Zelda games always take a weird sense of pride in their, like, isolation from each other. Like, some of them are sequels, kind of, or some of them make references to certain games, usually just Ocarina of Time, because it's the Jesus of the Zelda franchise, apparently. But this one's kind of cool because, like, characters show up from, like, a few of the different games. Skyward Sword, Twilight Princess, Ocarina of Time, you know, there's other just kind of neat callbacks. Like, if you do, like, a super hookshot move, you actually, like, bring down the moon from Majora's Mask. One of Zelda's weapons is the Wind Waker and stuff like that. So, you know, it's all kind of neat. The soundtrack's fantastic because, again, it's a lot of those kind of older tunes, but they have, like, a metal remix to them. Mm-hmm. And they sound awesome.
Yeah, like, as I was playing it, I was just trying to ask, like, I was enjoying it, but I, you know, again, I'm thinking to myself, if this wasn't Zelda and this, like, awesome remix of the Zelda theme wasn't playing and I wasn't Link on Hyrule Field, would I still be playing this? And
probably
I don't think so.
But you can't discount that stuff because it's definitely important.
No, yeah. But, like, you know, I've seen a few people on Twitter who are like, oh, like, this is gonna, like, they refer to these as Musou games or something like that. Is that the guy who designs these?
I don't, no idea.
I don't know, but everyone's like, oh, like, the world loves Musou now. They're going to find all these other ones and start playing them. Like, no.
I'm not suddenly going to jump into Dynasty Warriors and Samurai Warriors and the weird Gundam game they made like it.
Right, exactly.
But, I mean, this is cool. You know, there actually is a story mode that was surprisingly lengthy and, you know, maybe not like, you know, it wasn't like the world's greatest story or something, but it was like a story with a beginning, middle, and end, you know?
And
it gives you an opportunity to play as all the different characters and to unlock new swords and to level up. One thing I really like is that each character levels up independently, but one of the things you can buy is you can buy, like, level ups for characters up to, like, the level of your highest level character. So, like, nobody's, like, super far behind, you know?
Right.
There's actually, like, a cool one called the Adventure Mode that, like, takes place, like, on, like, it's like you select grids off of the map from, like, the NES Zelda game, and then you do, like, little objectives, like, in the same framework, and it's kind of cool. This is a bit of a retro throwback there. But, yeah, like, I think, like, for hardcore Zelda fans, that they're gonna have a lot of fun with this game. It's, you know, it's neat to kind of have a Zelda experience that is so different in a way. I think that's what a spinoff should do. It should be kind of, like, the elements are there, but it's a very different kind of a thing. That's why, like, right. You know, Super Mario RPG is fun, and you know, stuff like that. And this is, you know, I think as a spinoff, it's incredibly successful.
All right.
Other thing, Smash Brothers demo, which, as you can imagine, I've been playing quite a lot of.
How happy are you?
Oh, so happy. Yeah, just for a demo that has five characters and one level and one game type, I'm just playing so much. but, you know, what's cool, because there's just one level, the Battlefield, which is, like, the level that's always in those games. It's the one with the flat bottom and then three kind of platforms floating about, but it lets you do that Final Destination mode with it, which basically just turns level to Final Destination, and with Final Destination mode you turn off all the items and stuff, so that's cool. The game, it has Mario, Link, Pikachu, who are all pretty similar. There's some slight differences here and there from the last games, and then Mega Man and the Villager. Mega Man's really cool. He because his moveset, not only is it, like, take things from the Mega Man games, but the way he certain moves work is very much like playing a Mega Man game. Like, you know, his normal attack is the pellet shots. And, like, most people have, like, a tilt move where they do, like, a kind of, like, a stronger just punch. Well, his tilt move is literally just him walking and doing the pellet shots. His down in A, instead of, you know, usually for a person that's, like a sweep or something, he actually does the slide, just like how you would in the Mega Man games, down in A or whatever. That's cool. You know, like, he has very projectile base with all of his items, his weapons and stuff. So he was really cool to play as. The Villager.
Have you had any inclination to change the controls so that, like, A is jump and not X and Y?
No, I got used to that pretty quick.
Okay.
Villager's really neat. He's got some more kind of wacky things, which is what I like about both characters, that they play very differently from anything we see. Because, you know, a lot of characters have moves that reflect projectiles. He can actually pocket a projectile of any kind, whether it's, like, an item thrown at him or, like, a fully charged shot of something. And then by pushing B again, he'll use it. So he can, like, take, like, a fully charged Samus shot, just pocket it, then, like, you know, much later in the battle, throw that thing out. Then his other cool move is his down B is, like, four steps. Part one, he plants a seed. Part two, he waters a seed and a tree sprouts out. And if anybody's standing on that tree when it sprouts out, it kind of lifts them up in the air and does a lot of damage. And then, from that point on, his down B is an axe. Now, if you miss the tree, then the axe does pretty good damage. But if you hit the tree twice with the tree kind of slowly falls over. And if it hits somebody, it does a lot of damage and a huge amount of throwback. So, and it's actually really good for edge guarding, because you can, while the person's trying to get back, you can plant the tree, grow it, and cut it off. But the tree, like, also deflects projectiles. It's just, like, a really interesting kind of, like, spacing tool. So, yeah, that's pretty neat. But, yeah, I mean, it works really well in the 3DS. The frame rate is great. Just like with Mario Kart. Where, like, everyone's kind of like, man, why does Mario Kart 7 run so well, even in 3D? Same kind of thing here.
Yeah, I was nervous, because remember Pokemon had huge frame rate hits when you were playing in 3D. I was worried this game might tax it too much, but I guess it sounds like it doesn't.
No, it's running very smoothly.
Although, did you see that the 3DS is to blame for no ice climbers?
Really? Why?
The 3DS technically couldn't keep track of both of the characters.
Why?
That pushed it too hard, I guess.
How? GameCube.
Because now you had five characters on the screen. I mean, I didn't buy it, but that's what they said.
But isn't that Rosalina and Luna kind of do the same thing anyway?
Well, he's a lot smaller, I guess. I don't know.
I don't buy that.
Yeah, I know.
Weird. All right, but yeah, it's Smash Brothers. It's fantastic. I cannot wait to get this full game. All right. What else? Anything else you want to talk about?
I don't think so.
I mean, you've been playing a lot of it. So let's look at... we already talked that with the community over on SquadronShame.com, our Exploding Barrel board, that P was talking about Destiny... a little bit, and you know, we were also asking about you know, why are devs still making AAA games for the last gen? You know, Pete's kind of answered that. It's a lot of things that he's not really into AAA games, so he's not the one to ask. Although then we also asked if anybody's playing to get Grand Theft Auto 5, and he actually defended Grand Theft Auto 5. So much for his no AAA game policy.
Yeah, liar.
But yeah, he says it's something we should try. You know, I did try Grand Theft Auto V. I still wasn't totally captured by it. I saw why it was interesting. It's one of the reasons why I still have like that seed of like maybe I should play freaking Grand Theft Auto V. But I don't know. Let's see. We got Asset here. He's not really planning on playing Destiny. Lack of a cohesive story in the game doesn't bother him. He's not playing yet, but he plans to. So yeah, he says that the story stuff doesn't really bother him. For the whole AAA games on Last Gen System thing, he says that the way that people make AAA games needs to change. He says that budgets are out of control, that they need to be more focused, which I think we can all kind of agree with here. Raven, yep. 2785. Hey, Raven. When he was talking about that last gen thing, he said that they, you know, people should still be making games for last gen because there are, you know, just like before the PlayStation 3 and 360 era, there were a lot of people who still used the PlayStation 2 for like Persona 3 and Persona 4. But you know, I think the situation is different because, you know, again, you know, not, you know, that's a bit specific, but Persona 5 you're going to have on
PS4, yeah.
I just think that this is a different situation. I just feel like people are adopting much faster than they were last time. I don't know why, honestly, but it just seems to be the case.
I think it's two factors. First of all, it had been a long time coming.
It's been longer.
You know, over 7 years. Plus, I feel like since the 360 and PS3 came out, we've had iPhones and iPads and you know, Samsung Galaxy phones. I think it's more palatable to people to go spend $400 or $500 on a new piece of hardware.
That's a good point. I haven't really heard about that. Yeah, that makes
sense. Yeah, you know, because I mean, how many people just spent hundreds of dollars on an iPhone 6 after buying even a 5S a year ago? Mm-hmm. I feel like customers' spending habits in tech has changed since the 360 and PS3 came out.
Just like even thinking of like the people I know anecdotally, it seems like a lot more have adopted early than before. But so I think it's going to drop off soon. I think that it's going to be very telling when we see kind of how low Assassin's Creed Rogue does on the charts. Maybe just me guessing, but maybe it'll be a big hit. I don't know.
Yeah.
But All right. Let's get to the releases then.
Okay. What do we got?
Well, let's see. It doesn't look like a whole lot. There's another Naruto game.
I feel like they're still making this.
Yeah, there's been a new Naruto game. I feel like every week since we started doing this show 7 years ago. there's some JRPG for PlayStation 3 called Fairy Fencer F. Maybe Pete knows something about it. He's our JRPG guy. Did Theater Rhythm Curtain Call really come out for the 3DS?
Yeah, I saw it at Best Buy today.
What? Shit. Yeah. I need to get that. I love Theater Rhythm. Man,
I played the demo. You know, the demo has... You could play it with buttons instead of the touchscreen if you want.
I heard about that. Did you like that?
It's kind of weird. I kind of did, actually. It's not better or worse. It's just different.
Right.
But to me, there's something more fun about just, like, quickly hitting all these buttons and arrow buttons instead of, like, sliding on the screen. Maybe it's because it feels a little more precise. But, yeah.
That's pretty much it. I think a lot of the stuff's going to be coming out next week with, like, Disney Infinity and the Hyrule Warriors. So, all right, thanks for listening to the Exploding Bro Podcast, everybody. You can find more of us at ebpodcast.com. You can follow us on Twitter and Facebook. Be sure to go to the squadronofshame.com message boards. Go to our Exploding Bro Podcast page. You can find our threads there. You can talk about this show or anything else you want to talk about. And please go to iTunes Music Store. Leave us a review there. We always appreciate it. All right, thanks, everybody. We'll see you next week right here on the Exploding Bro Podcast.
Bye-bye.